free people will never remain free if they are not willing, if need be, to fight for their vital interests.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problems. Government is the problem.
Praise God.
The Restoration Hour with Pastor Eli James.
All right, welcome Christian Israel, white nationalists, truth lovers everywhere. This is Eurofolk Radio. And tonight's topic here on the Restoration Hour is going to be the word Jew as defined by encyclopedia.com. And so I think this is just an online encyclopedia that was probably created by Jews. But nevertheless, no matter what official Orthodox publication you're going to get, it's going to present the Jewish point of view. And not reality, the racial reality of what Jews really are. But here we go. So this, now, it's very interesting. The word Jew here, Hebrew Yehudi, or Yehud. That's correct. Semantics. The word Jew passed into the English language from the Greek Judeos, which is good. That's better than from Judah, because it... You never see the word Jew translated from Judah, although the KJV will have it that way. The Judahites themselves never call themselves Jews. They always call themselves Judah or Yehudi or Yehudim. Yehudim. That's the plural for Yehud or Yehudah. Okay, so that's correct. The word Jew passed into the English from the Greek Judeos by way of the Latin Judeus, which is spelled with a J, but is still pronounced like a Y, because even today the Latin does not have a J sound. And this is found in early English from about the year 1000 in a variety of forms. So the word Jew that they're saying here is very recent in creation, and only after 1000 AD would it be inserted into various Bibles? Let's continue. A variety of forms. Judeo, that's I-U-D-E-A. Jew, G-Y-U. Or Jew, G-I-U. You spelled I-U-U. You spelled I-U-W. And U, I-E-W, which developed into the word Jew. Okay? When the letter J entered the English language, which actually it didn't happen until around the 1500s, because the actually even later, because the 1611 King James does not have the letter J, it has the letter I in place of the letter J. The word Jew, therefore, is ultimately traced to the Hebrew Yehudu. No, that's not true. It is the word, the Hebrew word Yehudi is translated by the word Jew in modern translations. So it's not traced to that. It's not traced to anything until around 1000 AD. And actually, it's not even traced to anything until after the letter J entered the English language, because we have all kinds of evidence from cemeteries, the headstones. Up until the mid-1700s, still only have an I and no J. So the word Jew is a very modern word and cannot be said to be traced to the Hebrew word Yehudi, especially since the Hebrew word Yehudi is exclusively a racial tribe of Judah, and no one else counts as Yehud or Yehudim, except for Judah and no one else. Okay, they say Yehudi, a term which originally applied to members of the tribe of Judah. That is correct. It only applied to the tribe of Judah and no one else. The fourth son of the patriarch Jacob. So we've got a pretty good mix here of fact and fiction, but the factoids are correct. The term was also utilized for those who dwelt in the area of the tribe of Judah, and thus later, during the 7 years that David reigned in Hebron, his territory was called the Kingdom of Judah. Not the Kingdom of Jews, the Kingdom of Judah, 2 Samuel 5:5. Later still, with the split of the kingdom during the reign of Rehoboam, the northern kingdom was called Israel, and the southern kingdom was called Judah, although it also encompassed the territory of the tribe of Benjamin, 1 Kings 12:16 to 21. From that time on, the term Yehudi applied to all residents of the southern kingdom. Well, it's actually more correct to say that it was called the House of Judah, and Benjamites still retained the name of Benjamin. The Levites still retained the name of Levi, and the Judahites still retained the name of Judah. It all depended on the whether you're talking about the tribe of Benjamin as being a member of the tribe of Benjamin, or whether it's a member of the house, the two-tribed house of Judah. In that sense, they would be called Judahites. But it's more frequent for them to simply to retain the name of Benjamin. Continuing. Okay, and although it also encompassed the territory of the tribe of Benjamin, and that would always be the house of Judah. From that time on, the term that Yehudi applied to all residents of the southern kingdom, and that's probably true, irrespective of their tribal status, because it's a reference to the house of Judah, not to the tribe. After the destruction of Israel, only Judah remained, and the term Yehudi, or Jew, no, Yehud, the word Jew was not used by the house of Judah or tribe of Judah to refer to themselves, nor was it used by the other Israelite tribes to refer to the tribe of Yehud, the tribe of Judah. And then he says, then lost its specific connection with the southern kingdom. No, the 10 northern tribes retained the name of Israel, and even if you read the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, those Yehudim refer to themselves as Israel more often than they refer to themselves as Yehuda. Okay, this is strikingly illustrated in Esther 2:5 and 5:13, where Mordecai, although belonging to the tribe of Benjamin, is called a Yehudi. That's better than calling him a Jew. That would be correct, because he's a member of the house of Judah. This term was also utilized at that time for the Jewish religion. No, it wasn't, because there was no such thing as a Jewish religion. The religion of Moses is not Judaism, and you will not find the word Judaism anywhere in the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament. That word Judaism is another modern invention, and it's simply falsely ascribed to the teachings of Moses and the beliefs of the Israelites. Okay, at that time, the word Judah was never ascribed to the tribe, to the religion of Judah or the religion of Israel ever. It was never used to describe the religion of the Israelites. Okay, so now, whether or not the book of Esther contains the word Jew in it or not doesn't matter, because we've already demonstrated that the word Jew is an extremely modern invention, and no Israelite or Judahite or Benjamite would have referred to himself or herself as a Jew. They would either use their tribal name, or if they're of Judah, they would refer to themselves as Judah or Yehudim in the plural. Okay, it's never referred to the Jewish religion. That's a modern falsehood. Many from among the people of the land had converted to Judaism at Esther 8:17. While there was, it was not called Judaism, it was called Mosaism or Yahwism or as Yahshua refers to it, as the Law and the Prophets. None of the Israelites of Old Testament times, or even in New Testament times, referred to their religion as Judaism. That is a non-existent word. They would refer to it to very specifically the religion of Judah, or primarily Mosaism, or simply the Law and the Prophets. Outsiders may have decided to call it as the Jewish religion, falsely, because basing it on Judah or Judea, the religion in Judea, but even there, it was simply the religion of Judah, never called Judaism. Okay, and they did not convert to Judaism. If they were Judahites or Benjaminites, that simply means, well, they started practicing the religion of Moses again. If they were not of the tribe or house of Judah, then they would be false converts. They would be false converts. The term, quote, Jew, unquote, connoted by this time a religious, political, and national entity without differentiation between these categories. Well, the word Jew did not exist. So that's not true. Simply untrue. They might have referred to themselves as Yehuda or Yehudim. And that's it. Now, whether they were truly Yehudim is another matter. Okay? Just because some people claim to convert to a certain religion doesn't mean they did so honestly or sincerely. In fact, it's told us in the Holy Scriptures that the Samaritans would claim allegiance with the house of Judah when it suited their purposes. That is, when things were going well with Judah and they wanted to make friends with them. But if it wasn't going well with the house of Judah, they would deny any relationship with them. So they were fair-weather friends. Okay, the term, historically, all of this is simply false. The word Jew did not exist in those days. No historian referred to these people as Jews. They may have referred to them as Judeans or Judahites, but most outsiders did not make any distinctions between Judahites, Arabs, whatever. They referred to them possibly as Palestinians, but they did not make any major distinctions, because these outsiders, let's say the Greeks, the Romans, Germans, etc., were not interested in these distinctions. So, and by the time most of these histories were written, the word Judea had already become popular. So, Judean, yes. Jew, no. The word Jew, however, was mainly used outside of the land of Israel by Jews and non-Jews and in languages other than Hebrew. Okay, so what kind of Jews are they talking about? There were no Jews in Old Testament times. They were Judahites. Thus, Nehemiah, who was an official of the Persian court, refers to quote-unquote Jews in his personal diary. No, he referred to them as Judahites or Yehudim. And the book of Esther, see above, was almost certainly written by someone close to court circles. Yes, for sure, absolutely. From the Persian and Aramaic, the word passed into Greek, and from there into Latin, where the letter J did not exist in those two languages either. So if they had adopted a shortened version of Yehudim, it would be Yehud, or Yehuda. It never would have the letter J sound in it at all. And so the name Jew never became common usage anywhere until modern times. So these people are speaking falsely. They don't know the history. They don't know the etymology of the word Jew. And they don't know the true history, the distinction between Jews and Edomites. However, while the name Jew became common usage outside the land of Israel, no, it didn't. Judean is the word. Jew is a modern nickname for Judean. The Hebrew-speaking Yehudim within the land were particular to call themselves Israel. Thank you very much. And that is correct. That's what you find in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. They constantly refer to themselves as Israel. never as Jews, and very often as Yehud or Yehudim. It seems that this was a deliberate reaction parallel to the general intensification of ancient religious and literary values and aimed at strengthening the identification with the nation's early history. Pure speculation on their part because they don't know the true history of the tribe of Judah. Thus, Ezra, as opposed to Nehemiah, uses the name Israel throughout. And even in the Aramaic letter given to him by the Persian king, from that period on, the name Israel is used, from that period on, the name Israel is used in all Hebrew literature, in the Hebrew books of the Apocrypha, Judith, Tobit, 1 Maccabees, and in the Judean Desert Scroll. So here, it belies what they just said up above. Nobody used the word Jew in ancient times. The word Jew, it was not even invented until modern times. You can probably trace it to the 1700s. And so in the Mishnah and Talmud, you can disregard that because that's not Israelite literature. It's not Judahite literature. It's Jewish literature. And I don't care what those documents say. They're all inaccurate. They're not Judahite history or Israelite history in any way, shape, or form. And on the coins of the 70 CE revolt and that of Bar Kokhba. Well, it says, quote, the redemption of Israel, not the redemption of the Jews. The freedom of Israel, not the freedom of Jews. Exceptions such as prince of the Jews, that is the Judeans. Actually, in this case, prince of the Judahites. On the copper column erected by on Mount Zion in honor of Simeon the Maccabee, 1 Maccabees 14:47. Again, the word, the Hebrew word, even the Aramaic word would be Yehudim, not Jew. Also 37 and 40, and quote, a group of the Judahites on the coins of his son, Yohanan, are to be explained by the political designation Judea, not Jew, by which the so-called Gentile world knew the limited territory of the Judahite state. Okay, so it was the outside world that used the term Judea or Judean, which is falsely translated as Jew. When indeed that territory was enlarged, the name Land of Israel came once more into use. See, the Judahites never gave up the name of Israel. They never did. And these people were not Jews. This difference in usage is strikingly illustrated in the gospel. The Jews are recorded as having referred mockingly to Jesus as King of Israel. Now these are Edomite Jews, or Judeans. That, and that's where the word, the nickname Jew comes from. Even then, it would be Judeos, no J. It would be Judeos, not Jew. Whereas the Roman Pilate and his soldiers referred to him, both verbally and in writing, as King of the Judeos. Mark 15:32. So they're simply substituting the modern word Jew, which was not invented until the 1700s, into the dialogue here, when it was never used by anybody. The word in those days was Judeos, meaning Judean. And a Judean is not necessarily a Judahite or even an Israelite. They're primarily Edomites who refer to themselves as Judeans. Now, interestingly, because we know that the Jews, modern Jews, like to refer back to their ancient homeland in the Middle East. But they were Judeans. These Edomites lived in Judea, so they could refer to it as their ancient homeland. But it was only by usurpation that these Edomites took over the country and ruled over the proper Judahites. So these, it's only their ancient homeland going to about 121 BC when King John Hyrcanus forcibly circumcised Edomites and called them Judeans. Okay. Let's continue. I mean, anachronistic verbiage just adds to the confusion. You have to use the terminology that people use for themselves in those days. Like the Apaches called themselves Apaches. The Comanches called themselves Comanches. Neither one of those tribes ever, not even to this day, refer to themselves as Indians. And they take offense if you call them American Indians, right? They're not Indians. They call themselves by their tribal names. And on the coins of the 70 CE revolt and that of the Bar Kokhba, it's too bad they don't present an actual image of the coin. So if it's written in Hebrew, it would be Yudah, Bar Kokhba. But Bar Kokhba, that's modern. And Bar Kokhba may not be a Judahite at all. He may be one of these Judean Edomites. But the Judean Edomites would never have called themselves Israel. So it says the redemption of Israel, freedom of Israel, exceptions such as Prince of the Judeos on the copper column erected on Mount Zion in honor of Simon the Maccabee, and the group of Judeos on the coins of his son Yohanan are to be explained by the political designation Judea. Sorry, I read that already, but that is correct. That's where it comes from. It's not Jew. It's Judeos. Judea is the modern name for Judeos. Okay. By which the non-Israelite world knew the limited territory of the state of Judea. Okay. When indeed that territory was enlarged, the name Land of Israel came once more into use, and the Israelites, even those of the house of Judah, never gave up calling themselves Israel. Even in the New Testament, you see, Yahshua is referred to as King of Israel. He's never referred to as King of the Jews. That is a mocking statement put on the cross by Pontius Pilate. Okay? Now, interestingly, for Christians, the word Judeus was early conflated with the name of the villain of the gospel story, Judas Iscariot, who was considered the typical Jew, an Edomite Jew. Judas was linked with the devil, Luke 22:3, and the result was an evil triangle of devil, Jew, Judas. Okay, right? Even then, it was Judeos, and the actual pronunciation was Judas. This relationship helped to establish the pejorative meaning of the word Jew in popular usage. The noun could mean extortionate, usurer, driver of hard bargains, etc., while the verb was defined as to cheat by sharp business practices, to overreach, etc. Many attempts to root out these derogatory meanings by having the dictionary definitions revised have been made in the United States, England, and Europe. They have, however, met with little success, since the problem is not one of ill will on the part of lexicographers, but rather of semantics and popular usage. No, it's because the Christians knew what the Jews really were in those days. In order to avoid the unwelcome associations and connotations of the word, Jews began in the 19th century to call themselves Hebrews and Israelites. There you go. So, the Jews themselves, they didn't call themselves Israel because they weren't Israel. They were Edomites who nevertheless began to impersonate Israel. But this was over the 1900 years between the Pharisees and the modern world that they refined their impersonation of Israel over all this time. But let's see. So the Jews, what did they call them? They had to call themselves Judeos, because the letter J was not in existence in those days. But in the 19th century, they say, and this is probably correct, Jews began in the 19th century to call themselves Hebrews and Israelites, something which they never were. But this is already in the days of Zionism, when the Jewish Zionists decided that if we're really going to impersonate Israel well, we need to identify ourselves as Hebrews and Israelites, okay? So for an example here is Alliance Israelite Universelle, founded in 1860. So if this article is correct, then the idea that the Jews began to call themselves Israel is very recent, and also as Hebrews. So why didn't they call themselves Israelites for the previous 1800 years? That's because they weren't. All right. So, I mean, the record speaks for itself. It just says here, they did not call themselves Israelites or Hebrews until the mid-19th century. Nevertheless, these new names quickly took on the same pejorative associations as Jew or Judah. In German, it would be Judah. Okay, Judah. And it was probably Judah in all the European languages until the letter J took the place of the letter I. Okay. And of course, why the pejorative associations? Because the Jews were charlatans and frauds and cheats and scoundrels. That's why they have the pejorative name for Judah, as scores of 19th century novels testify. Now, of course, those 19th century novels would replace Judah or Judeos or Judas with Jew. Okay, so we can see the word Jew is very recent. Recently, there has been a gradual change in the usage of the word. The brutal murder of a great part of the Jewish people during the Holocaust has limited subsequent degrading usage of the term. Well, that's part of the reason why they invented the Holocaust. Since the conclusion of the war, anti-Judaism is under legal scrutiny in many countries, and this covers the use of Jew in the pejorative sense, along with Yid, Sheni, Ike, or how about Kike, and the like. All right, so even though the Jews themselves never called themselves Israelites or Hebrews until the mid-19th century, everybody thinks that it's proper to use the word Jew to refer to Yehuda and Yehudim in the Old Testament. No, it's not. Halakhic definition. Now, we're going strictly. Now, of course, let's say this is the Judeo-Christian view of the situation. And the author who put this together, what I just quoted, is Yehoshua M. Grintz. Got to be a Jewish author. So that explains a lot of the lack of historical accuracy. Halakhic definition. Both a child born of Jewish parents and a convert to Judaism are considered Jews, possessing both the sanctity of the Jewish people. Exodus 19:6. Well, let's have a look at Exodus 19:6 and see what that says. I'll bet it doesn't say any such thing. Exodus 19:6. That's assuming that the word Israelite can be translated as Jew, okay? And that's a false assumption. Now, therefore, ye will obey my voice indeed. Oh, wait a minute, that's 5. Let me go to 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. It does not say Jew there, folks. It does not say Jew. Let's continue. Okay. This is a lesson in semantics, folks. And semantics is how you play with words, especially how the Jews play with words. The sanctity of the Israelite people. Now, you can't compare modern Judaism to ancient Hebrewism or Mosaism, Yahwism, or the Law and the Prophets. They're not the same. There was no such term as Judaism. Actually, I believe the word Judaism is also a very recent extraction. So you can't take that word, which is very modern, and insert it into the Bible as if it was used in those days. There was no such religion as Judaism. Judaism is the religion of the Pharisees, as it began to be developed in Judea. in the days of Herod. That's when Judaism, because it's the religion of the Pharisees, not the religion of Moses. And you cannot imply that the religion of Moses is the same as the religion of the Pharisees. Both the sanctity of the Israelite people, Exodus 19:6, and the obligation to observe the commandment. Well, the Jews don't observe the commandments. They observe the Talmud, which is a completely different animal. The status of children from the intermarriage is designated by the Mishnah and Talmud as following that of the mother, which is totally unscriptural, folks. Okay, so when you're talking about halakhic, you're talking about Jewish, made-up, fake law. Has nothing to do with the laws of the Bible, has nothing to do with the Mosaic law. This is Jewish. It's modern Judaism is what it is. Halakhic is not Judahite. Halakhic is not Israelite. It's Talmudic. The status of children from intermarriage is designated by the Mishnah and Talmud as following that of the mother, which is totally unscriptural. No Judahite or Israelite ever designated or had a matrilineal line of descent. It was always patriarchal, and that's the biblical rule. And I don't care what halakhic scriptures you quote, it's fake. Quote, the son by an Israelite woman, by which they mean a Jew, is called thy son, but thy son by a heathen woman is not called thy son. KID, whatever that is, it's halakhic, it's Talmudic. A child born of a non-Jewish mother, which is not to say a goy. Since Jews aren't Judahites, Jews, in fact, are non-Judahites, must therefore undergo ritual conversion, even though his father is Jewish. See proselytes, okay? This is modern Jewish interpretation, has nothing to do with the Bible, never applied to the Bible, can't be applied to the Bible, because no Judahite or Israelite in biblical times would accept this definition of a Judahite or an Israelite. It's purely Judaism, okay? This halakhic definition was accepted for centuries. By who? Not by true Judah, not by true Israel, but only by Jews. However, in modern times, and particularly since the establishment of the state of Judea, which was the name that they were going to call it the day before they changed it to Israel, and it was recognized as Israel the following day, they were going to call it Judea, until the day before it was recognized by the UN. The definition has been more and more questioned. Yeah, well, it should be questioned. The act of conversion is, of course, a religious act, and thus any candidate for conversion is required to subscribe to the principles of Judaism or dogma. Yeah, dogma. Well, you can't convert to being an Israelite. You can't convert to being a Judahite. That is strictly a racial term. And since they did not practice any religion called Judaism, it's totally illegitimate to suggest that anybody in the Old Testament could be defined in these terms. This is all modern Judaism. It's all modern Talmudism. Nobody could convert to being a Judahite or Israelite. That's not permitted in the Bible, okay? So, to principles of Judaism are not the same as the principles of Moses, completely, too. I mean, those two religions are antithetical. As Yahshua said in the New Testament, you Pharisees and you Sanhedrin practice your own traditions, which we refer to as the traditions of men, not the traditions of Judah. Not as the traditions of Israel, but traditions of men, and that is mere mortals, not Judahites or Israelites, not the covenant people at all. And of course, this is dogma. And to practice all the mitzvot, something which the majority of born Jews do not do, whatever that means. Thus, it is felt in wide circles that identification with the Jewish people and its fate should constitute sufficient grounds for being considered a Jew, but not an Israelite or a Judahite, because those terms are not synonymous, particularly since during the Holocaust, tens, even hundreds of thousands of Jews who were not halakhically so considered perished because the Nazis had considered them Jews. Well, we know that's all fake. This problem has been especially grave in the Israeli state, where the children of mixed marriages, in which the wife is not Jewish, who speak Hebrew, are educated in the spirit of Jewish history, subscribe to Judean nationalism, and serve in the army to defend it, feel discriminated against in that they are not considered Jews and are not registered as Jews in the identity cards which they are by law required to carry at all times. Isn't that discrimination? Is that not discrimination? Since the Jews themselves aren't even Israelites to begin with, or Judahites to begin with, none of this makes any sense, because we're talking about Judaism, which is a totally fake religion. Let's see here. What's the... Okay, so they're required to carry these identity cards, which will identify them as either Jew or not a Jew, but this has nothing to do whether they're Israelites or not, or whether they are Judahites or not. In fact, what they are campaigning for is a secular definition of Jew, which is understandably vigorously opposed by the rabbinate of Israel and the religious political parties. In 1958, a cabinet crisis came about over the problem of the registration of Leom in the identity card. That's L-E-apostrophe-O-M. This word means nationality or nationhood, but its exact definition is a matter of debate, as is everything Jewish. The secular Israeli political parties contended that an affirmation of national identification with the Jewish people should suffice for such a registration, whereas the religious parties demanded that the halakhic guidelines be retained. Again, halakhic is not Mosaic. It's not Old Testament. It has nothing to do with the Bible. It's non-biblical. It's a non-biblical definition. David Ben-Gurion, then prime minister, who was actually a practicing Buddhist, elicited responsa is what it says, to this question from rabbinical leaders and Jewish scholars in Israel, or actually more properly called Judea, and throughout the diaspora. The overwhelming majority of the respondents indicated that the state of Judea should follow the halakha in this issue. It's just more fakitude. And final directives issued to registering officers required that there must be a bona fide conversion before the applicant could be registered as Jewish. Now, there's nowhere in the Old Testament that anybody converted into an Israelite. The word Israelite is genetic. The word Judahite is genetic. You have to be of the genetic stock of Jacob Israel to be an Israelite. And there are no such things as Jewish Israelites. There are no such things as Jewish Judahites. The word Jew means completely something else from Judah and or Israel. It's only because the Jews have invented this term and equated it with Israel and Judah that anybody believes otherwise. Okay. What's a bona fide conversion? That doesn't mean they believe in the laws of Moses. It believes that they follow rabbinical dictates. That's all it means. The situation reached a kind of climax in 1968 when a lieutenant commander under the Israeli Navy, Benjamin Shalit, requested that his two children born of a non-Jewish mother be registered on their identity cards as Jews. Well, why not? They're not Judahites, so what's the big deal? When the Ministry of the Interior refused to accede to this request, Shalit petitioned the Supreme Court to order the ministry to show cause why they should not so register the children. The Supreme Court, sitting for the first time in its history in a complement of 9 judges, to reflect their expansion of the 7-candle menorah to 9-candle menorah, suspended the hearing in order to make a recommendation to the government to change the law requiring the entry leom and thus solve the problem. The government refused to accept the recommendation, and subsequently the court decided on January 23, 1970, case number HC58/68, question 58 and 68, by a majority of 5-4, that the registrar had no right to question a statement made in good faith by the applicant, but was duty-bound to register what he was told. So if a guy wants to be a Jew, and he wants his children to be called Jews, who's to argue? Each of the judges wrote his own opinion, and some stated to their mind the term leom admitted a secular definition. Well, are these people practicing religiously Judaism? I'd say the vast majority of people who call themselves Jews don't practice any religion except hatred of non-Jews. It was pointed out that the decision was only with regard to registration and had no implications as far as personal status was concerned. Well, what about citizenship, which would continue to be governed by the courts in whose jurisdiction it lay? That's legalese nonsense, moral nonsense talk from Jews. So it was also legislated at that time that non-Jewish spouses or children and grandchildren of Jews arriving in Israel with their Jewish spouse or parent would be granted all the privileges of the law of return. That's the return of the Judeans to Judea, not the return of Israel to Judea, including the right to automatic Israeli citizenship. In a previous decision, now, of course, none of this is biblical. There's no way in the Old Testament that a non-Israelite could petition to be a citizen of Israel, or a non-Judahite could petition to be a citizen of Judah. Would never happen. Impossible. In a previous decision, the Supreme Court decided in the case of Oswald Rufeisen, a born Jew who converted to Catholicism and joined the Carmelite order, for a full treatment of that case, see apostasy, that although in the opinion of the court the appellant might be a Jew halakhically, for the purpose of the law of return, he could not be so considered. Why? Because he was a practicing Christian, so-called. Throughout the ages, the rabbinical authorities, not the Bible, have been concerned with the problem of a person who is technically a Jew, but subscribes to another religion. When a Jew merely does not subscribe to Judaism, the problem is of a lesser degree, since such a person can be considered a relapsed Jew. Can you be considered a relapsed Israelite or a relapsed Judahite? No, impossible. You're either a reprobate or you are righteous. And that's all there is to it. There are a lot of reprobate Israelites who Yahweh destroyed, most of them actually, in the history of the Old Testament. If they were reprobates and never repented of their sins, Yahweh destroyed them, okay? And he's going to destroy all these fake Israelites and fake Judahites very, very soon. However, when that person has no connection whatsoever with Judaism and indeed considers himself to be a member of another religion, the problem is most severe. So what do we call this creature? How about calling a crypto-Jew? In the Middle Ages, the question arose as to whether a Jew is allowed to lend money to such a person on interest or borrow from him on interest, something which is forbidden between Jews. But if it's forbidden, it doesn't mean anything. Jews lend money to each other all the time. In the discussion of this problem, there were opinions that it is permitted, since such a person cannot be considered a Jew at all. So it depends on which rabbi you ask. However, the majority of the decisors have always felt that such a person must halakhically be considered a Jew. Well, as long as he votes with the Jews and goes with the Jews against the rest of the world, what's the difference? Okay, since it doesn't matter whether a Jew is an Israelite, Judahite, or anything else, could have a leopard as a father. But remember, leopards don't change their spots. Jews do. With regard to conversion, the strict law has been that converts should be accepted only when they come out of altruistic reasons. Like what? What could be the altruistic reason for becoming a Jew? A hypocrite of the religion of the Pharisees. Because they have realized the superiority of the Jewish religion. Oh, man, that's a knee slapper. However, when they wish to convert in order to marry a Jew or to get rich, they should not be accepted in the first instance, even if they want to get rich. Every Jew wants to get rich. But if they were accepted and have undergone the full ceremony of conversion, they are post facto considered to be valid converts. So you can see there's nothing like this ever happened in the Bible. Nothing like this ever happened in the Bible. This is pure made-up religion. And Judaism is a completely made-up religion. It was made up by the Pharisees and by the Masoretes. And the Masoretic text was developed from Hebrew scriptures, but doctored and changed, and the meanings of many of the words were changed, so that the Masoretic text is nothing but pure Talmud. It's Talmudism, even though it does not claim to be Talmud. Okay, the full ceremony of conversion, as pointed out above, involves the acceptance of the mitzvot, and is that some kind of cup? And the general opinion has been that without such acceptance and performance, the conversion is invalid even post facto. It was never valid to begin with. Since the majority of conversions are not for altruistic reasons, thank you very much, this matter has been very problematic. Yeah, but it's only a problem for Jews. It's not a problem for biblical Judah or Israel. Moses Feinstein, in his Igorot Moshe, has suggested that such conversions might be valid, since the lack of knowledge of mitzvah does not invalidate a conversion. What would invalidate it is the non-acceptance or lack of observance of the mitzvot, which are commonly known to the convert. Well, the fact is, so many Jews are non-practicing Jews to begin with, and most average Jews don't have no idea what's in the Talmud, so they don't even know what Judaism is. All they quote-unquote know is that some rabbi said, this makes you an Israelite. Rather ingeniously, he has pointed out that although the religious court performing conversion told the convert the more importance of the mitzvah, although the convert at least verbally accepts what he or she is told, even though they don't know what the mitzvah is, okay, that's okay. We'll take you anyway, as long as you pay your taxes and support the Israeli state against all the goyim. And although the convert at least verbally accept what he or she is told. Okay. Is this a sincere conversion? Does they have no idea what they're dealing with? What anybody is talking about? Yeah, I want to be a Jew. In fact, the convert knows that the overwhelming majority of Jews do not observe these mitzvahs, as I just said, and believes that the court standards of observance are in fact unrealistic and not absolutely essential, just as the rest of Judaism is absolutely unrealistic and non-essential. For otherwise, why do the Jews themselves not adhere to these standards? Okay? Because they are hypocrites. That's why. Thus, Feinstein sees the lack of observance as a sort of lack of knowledge, and post facto tends to accept such kind. Well, since none of the other Jews, who they consider to be valid Jews, bother with any of this stuff, and certainly none of them practice the Mosaic law, why should anybody care? This, of course, is quite a revolutionary step in that it is accepting, albeit post facto, the standards of Judaism as practiced in preference to the standards of Judaism as codified. Okay, well, that's admitting there's a big difference between Jewish practice and Jewish law. The fact is that Jewish practice is anything goes. Jewish law is nothing but the decisions of rabbis, which nobody pays attention to, even most rabbis. You see what nonsense this is? It must be pointed out, however, that Feinstein's position is not one which is accepted by the majority of rabbinical authorities, okay? So what difference does that make? Which Jew are you going to believe? Which rabbi are you going to believe? You probably have a thousand different rabbis. You probably have a thousand different opinions. Means absolutely nothing. With the immigration from Eastern Europe countries, the problem of mixed marriages has become a most serious one in the state of Judea. And efforts are being made to facilitate the speedy conversion of the non-Jewish partner and children in order to avoid problems of personal status later on. Okay, so let's ignore whatever standards we have. Let's just call them Jews. Make them full-fledged state, because, we want them to pay taxes. Okay. I mean, you could just see how unlawful, even by Jewish standards, this is. They just make things up as they go along, and that's Talmudism. It can be said that the rabbinical courts are being more permissive in this matter than hitherto. Perhaps because of the enormous social and human pressures being brought to bear and the fact that the converts will grow up in a Jewish milieu. Okay, well. Okay, so here's the Oxford, with about 8 minutes left. This article includes the Oxford definition, Jew. And it's spelled G-I-W. I guess it's just an attempt to pronounce. G-I-W and G-Y-U, I-U or I-U-W, I-E-U. O-F, does that mean officially? G-I-U, earlier J-U-I-U, modified je, that's the French, je, Latin, Judeos, Greek, Judeos, from Aramaic, Yehudai, Hebrew, Yehudi, feminine, Yehudah, Judah, name of Jewish patriarch. No, he was not a Jew. Name of the Israelite patriarch, Judah, and the tribe descended from him. But none, as we explained earlier, none of the Judahites ever referred to themselves as Jews. They more often than not referred to themselves as Israelites. And now we have OE, whatever that stands for, had plural, it's probably some rabbi, initials of some rabbi, had plural Judeos, Jews' ear, fungus growing on trees, especially the elder on which Judas Iscariot, according to legend, hanged himself. Okay. Jews' ear fungus, that's funny. Mistranslation of Med el auricula Judae, Judas's ears, Jew's harp, earlier Jew's trump. They're giving numbers here. This might be centuries. I'm not sure. XVI. Rudimentary musical instrument, the ascription of which to Jews is unexplained. Hence, Jewish had Judaic. Jewry, Jews' quarter, ghetto, Jews, Judea, Palestine, Jewry, and OF Jewry again. Jewry. So, again, you see that the changes in meanings and pronunciation of these various words ascribed falsely to the tribe of Judah or house of Judah is absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense, especially since none of these Jews actually follow halakhic law, which is not biblical in the first place. Here's another definition of Jew. Noun, a member of the people and cultural community whose traditional religion is Judaism, which is not the religion of the Bible, and who traced their origins through the ancient Hebrew people of Israel to Abraham. Well, they may trace it to Abraham, but it's not true. There's no such thing as a Jew descended from Abraham, except Esau. In John chapter 8, Yahshua tricked the Jews into admitting that they're not Israelites when he said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And the Pharisees responded with, "What do you mean, made free? We were never slaves to any man." Okay? Which has proved that they were Edomites, not Israelites. Okay? Praises. Jew someone down. Offensive. Bargain with somebody in a miserly or petty way, or to feed someone. Another, Jew, a person descended from a Jewish mother, but not a Judahite, or who has formally converted to Judaism. According to the Halakha, which is not biblical law, Jewish descent is from the paternal line. Descended of all Israelites is from the paternal line. Even an apostate is counted as a full Jew. Well, what is an apostate? Somebody who doesn't believe in the Jewish religion? They don't care. But they like to have fun debating all this nonsense. Gentiles, by which they mean non-Jews, who wish to identify with Judaism have to undergo a full ritual conversion. Why would anybody want to do that? Well, I guess maybe to get rich or to marry a rich Jew, including circumcision for men and mikveh. Okay, so a couple more definitions before we conclude today. Jew, a member of the people and cultural community whose traditional religion is Judaism, that excludes all Israelites, and who trace their origins to the ancient Hebrew, falsely trace their origins to the ancient Hebrew people of Israel. The name is Middle English and comes via Old French and Latin from the Greek Judaeos. That's true. It comes from Judaeos, not Judah or Judah. Via Aramaic, from Hebrew, Yehudi, and from Yehuda, namely Judah. Those are the proper terms. None of those words were ever pronounced Jew in Old Testament times. Okay, folks, so this is an attempt to rationalize the fact that the Jewish people are in no way, shape, or form Israelites or Judahites. And when you start introducing non-biblical terminology and non-biblical law, then anything goes. And that's Judaism. Judaism is anything goes. As I have said in the past, Judaism is not a religion. Judaism is organized crime masquerading as a religion. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. See you all next time. Bye-bye.
Free people will never remain free if they are not willing, if need be, to fight for their vital interests.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Praise Yahweh and pass the ammunition.
The Restoration Hour with Pastor Eli James.